Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, August 19th, and it is 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rack, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. With us today, we have Wrangell Public School teacher Laura Davies and documentary filmmaker and photographer from British Columbia, Brian Hockenstein. They both met earlier this year at the Vancouver International Mountain Film Festival when Laura brought two students who made documentaries in her class to the festival. She asked Brian to come work with the students for a week this summer, and so he sailed here from Vancouver. Laura also organized a screening of some of Brian's films during the week at the Nolan Center for community members to see this past July. You can call in to ask a question or leave a comment. The number to KSTK is 874-2345. Hi, Brian and Laura. Thanks for coming in today. How are you both?
I'm great. Oh, I'm very loud. I'm doing great. We're just back to work at school, so I'm switching my brain to this.
Yes. School
I am time. Also great.
Awesome. So, Laura, you mentor media to students through Sea Stories, which is an organization that aids educators through workshops on leading multimedia projects, right?
Yeah. Can I explain that a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. So Sea Stories, I just want to explain because it's very confusing. Slightly confusing. So Sea Stories came and did a workshop a couple years ago with my students, and then they offered a program through a grant through DEED, and I did that. So I got training on how to lead my own film projects with students. So that is the role that Sea Stories had with me, is they came to Wrangell, did a workshop with my students, and then I did their year-long training, and then maintained a really solid collaboration friendship with them. But Stikine Stories is like our own self kind of contained program, and I named it Stikine Stories because we were with Sea Stories at the same time and we're at the Stikine. I might need to rebrand, though, because it's just adding to confusion, but we're sticking with these Stikine Stories.
So, yeah. And then for the past 2 years, you and the students have held the Stikine River Film Festival here
yes.
in Wrangell towards the end of each school year. Can you talk about your experience with media making and why it's important to share that knowledge to your students?
Okay. Well, I'll just try to be brief here, but why it's important, there's a lot of different reasons, but I'll start with some of my favorite things. What I love is that we're making documentaries about Wrangell, and so we're pulling in people to the school from the community that don't always have a presence, for example, elderly, and sometimes it's not even the people we're interviewing, it's the people that come to our films or watch them online. And so I'm having conversations with people I meet at restaurants, at funerals, that are like, hey, I like what your students are doing. But for the students, one of the biggest benefits is they're developing some empathy and listening skills. And I've noticed that when we've had other visitors in our class, the ability to have a conversation, ask them questions, take what they say and like what you do in your job, and then ask another question and make connections to things they already know. And I'm seeing that show up in so many different places in school. But it gives them confidence, for one, to see their work on the big screen. It also makes them feel pretty proud of family traditions, where they live. And the other thing is they have to do a lot of problem solving and collaborating, because editing is the hardest part. It's like the most impactful. But for a middle school student, especially, to stick out the editing process, they want to give up. They want to get frustrated. It's like hiking a mountain. And when they summit, it's the best feeling in the world. So that's a lot of the reason why I think it's important.
Awesome. And you took two of your students, Silgi Morris and Jackson Pearson, to the film festival, Vancouver
yes.
International Mountain Film Festival. And that's where you met Brian here. He was leading two workshops, right?
Yes, we went to his workshops. And just to give Brian a shout out, though, I usually talk to people at the conference, but he was just so professional that I didn't talk to him until afterwards. But I used some of his material from that workshop, not only with film students, but with my language arts students, because he was really going over like the elements of what makes a good story. I can't remember the name of your session exactly, but I used it in language arts. So he really got my attention from what he was sharing with us.
And Brian, will you talk about the workshops you held there? And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was actually funny. It's the way life goes sometimes. Some of the things that end up having the biggest impact on your life are kind of just by total coincidence. So I actually wasn't planned to be doing these workshops at the film festival, but earlier in the week, I was off shooting some ice climbing with somebody else, and an athlete, and he got a call from the festival director because he was also scheduled to do some work at the festival, and asking if he knew of anybody who could run some workshops because somebody unfortunately had to drop out from running two workshops. So I just happened to be sitting next to Tim, and he leaned over to me and said, "Hey, would you want to run these workshops?" And of course I said yes. I had done some work with the Vancouver Mountain Film Festival before, so it was an easy yes on both sides. And so, yeah, 4 days later, there I was running two workshops. I did one in storytelling and adventure filmmaking, which was the one that Laura was just talking about, and then another one on the use of AI in storytelling, which is something I'm quite passionate about. And it was just a fantastic experience all around in and of itself, but then it led to what has now become one of the greatest adventures of my life for many different reasons. So isn't that quite special?
Yes.
Okay, so Laura...
That was a rhetorical question.
Laura mentioned, Brian, Laura mentioned that you taught a little bit about the art of storytelling. Will you just give a couple examples of that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a funny one. I mean, when I was asked to give a workshop on the art of storytelling, I mean, the mechanics of storytelling, for better or worse, are pretty pretty standard, or I should just say, you know, there's no great mystery to storytelling. Storytelling is one of the ancient arts of human beings. Since time immemorial, we've sat around fires and told story, and that's how we've shared knowledge between family members and community members and outwards from there. There are some well-trodden paths to good storytelling, the hero's journey and three-act structures and all that. So for sure, I talked a little bit about that, but where I tend to go with my discussions is kind of skipping over the more obvious stuff. And I think in that instance, and that was, I think, something that connected me with Laura and Marie and some of the other attendees there, was more how to tell meaningful stories, how to get past the, easy, beautiful shots and quick hit dopamine hits, and kind of get more into meaningful storytelling, especially when it comes to working with different communities or in smaller rural towns, or telling stories, more meaningful stories. And that's, I think, where that talk went a little more.
Awesome. And how long have you been working in visual media, and why is it important to you, Brian?
How long have I been working in visual media? Well, I guess at this point we're going on 2.5 decades, if not a little more. I've always kind of had a camera in my hand since a young age. My father was into photography, and when I moved, or I should say even just before, I grew up on the East Coast, and me and my friends were obsessed with snowboarding in the hills outside of Montreal, Quebec, and as the story goes, in a lot of times in action sports, my friends were quite a bit better than me, and so somehow I ended up with a video camera in my hand, and we started amateur snowboard films. We then moved out west, and that continued on and then transitioned into a professional career. So I guess for about 2.5 decades plus. And I think the second half of the question was, why is that important to me? Or, I mean, why is it important to me? It's just fun. I mean, my line is, I just want to be out in beautiful places, experiencing beautiful things, and cameras allows me a way to justify that. And it's been a great gift to share beautiful places and beautiful stories. And as I've gotten older, to share more meaningful stories, both to me and hopefully to other people.
Yeah. So you identify as an adventure-based social and environmental justice documentary photographer and filmmaker. Will you, at least that's what your website says, will you explain what that means to you?
Good question. Yeah, I mean, beyond just a catchy title and something I use to kind of justify this silly existence of mine, I mean, yeah, basically it means that I love combining my love for the outdoors and for nature and mine and my community's particular way of enjoying that through sport and through physical activity. I love combining that with, like I said, deep and meaningful storytelling that, ideally shares some sort of social or environmental just as positive, meaningful messaging. And that can take so many different forms. But yeah, I guess that's what it means.
Awesome. So, Laura, you invited Brian to come to Wrangell to mentor some students for a week last month. Will you tell us about how you made that happen?
Okay, well, there was something much bigger than me that made it happen, really, was Sea Stories, because Sea Stories also was collaborating with Brian and talking about doing some collaboration with students. So they got the ball rolling, and we were discussing like locations and what communities that might be. And I said, hey, well, if you can't come to Wrangell, like maybe you can stop on your way back, thinking that he would be maybe further north. And then it just all worked out. That's why if you have an idea and you want someone to visit Wrangell, just say it, because you never know. And so sure enough, it worked out with Sea Stories and with Brian that he come to Wrangell as the main destination of his trip. And so, yeah, I'm just really lucky because I had messaged him and put the idea out to Sea Stories at the same time, not thinking it would actually happen. And it did.
Yeah. And was that an immediate yes on your behalf, Brian?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember it was just minutes after that first workshop, and Marie pulled me out into the lobby and she said, hey, I'm Marie and I work with an organization from Alaska. And I said, yes. And she said, no, let me get it out. She goes, I work with youth in Alaska. And I said, yes. And she said, well, okay. I said, she goes, well, we don't really have a lot of funding. I just wanted to put an idea out there, maybe for the future. I said, listen, it doesn't matter. You guys sound amazing. At that point, I said, I'd pay my own way. For me, Alaska is a sacred and special place from my community of snowboarding. And I've been lucky enough to visit it a few times. And just in general, the further north I go, the more connected to this beautiful environment that means so much to me. So when I heard, and then of course, I mean, working with youth, I've been lucky enough to work with some different youth in different communities, and working with youth, especially in smaller communities, has always been one of the most fulfilling parts of my work. So it was just a perfect storm of all the things I love.
Yeah, and you sailed here. Tell us a little bit about your journey from down south to Wrangell.
So I come from the mountain world. I spent the last 2+ decades in the mountains of the Coast Range, mostly based out of Whistler, in the Whistler area, just north of Vancouver. And several years ago, I started making a transition to the ocean environment, and I acquired a project boat call that I renamed the Estera, 30-foot North Coast 30, a beautiful 67-year-old boat that I renovated. And I spent the last 3 summers in Kwakwaka'wakw territory in a beautiful community of Alert Bay off the coast of northern Vancouver Island. And then, so basically when I got the invite to come up and do work with Sea Stories and Stikine Stories, the plan was to fly up here for a week or two and do a bunch of work. And then separate from that, I had also had a plan. I was actually going to sell my boat Estera, quote unquote, become an adult and get a real job and save up some money until I could buy my next boat. I actually had a buyer lined up for that boat in May, and I went up and took the boat out for one last little cruise, a 5-day cruise with my good buddy Ben. And by about day two, I realized there was no way I could sell this boat. I'd basically sandbagged myself into thinking that that I didn't love the boat. And once I started spending some time on it after a winter away from the boat, I realized there was absolutely no way I could sell it. So I turned the deal down, and as I tend to do in life, I made a quick and rash decision that again has turned out to be one of the best decisions of my life. And I decided to sail up to Alaska, to sail up to Wrangell, to do this work with Laura and Marie and all the kids. And it was just it was and is and has been the adventure of my life. Definitely one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. I get shivers just thinking about it. It's been something quite special.
Awesome, thank you. So let's talk about the workshop that happened last month, with the week-long workshop with the students. What did you guys you know, discuss before it happened? What was in the works?
Well, luckily Brian and I are very like-minded, I think, in some areas, and kind of went with the flow of how, like, we discussed some things ahead of time, but also we didn't. And that's largely due to me, because I was like, I don't even know what kids are going to come. So I just want to do a little background. I advertised it and I told my students in the spring that I would probably be doing some filming during the totem pole raising. But I couldn't really promise anything at that point because it wasn't completely finalized. And so for one, there's a lot of high school students working. Middle school students are going to camp. They're traveling. So I really didn't know who would show up. I think we had a total of 11 students show up. We had some high school and middle school students. And for the totem pole raising, I had cameras in all their hands. And Brian had cameras in his hands. And so he was kind of mentoring on the job. So like they could see him as an inspiration and they were filming, he was filming. And then once the totem pole raising was over, then we got out the drones because Brian is an expert in drones and I am not. That is not a skill set I have, but I did buy my own drone. So he not only taught the students, but now I have the skills somewhat to have the students fly my drone. So we went up Rainbow Falls, we went to a beach, we were in the harbor, and he gave the students the opportunity to fly the drone, but also gave them like really good feedback. And they were really into it. I've heard from parents, I've heard from students that that was really impactful. Like they had fun. And on top of it, the last thing I'll say, maybe my favorite part wasn't even the technical side. It was when we hiked up Rainbow Falls and watching them just love playing, because my roots are in like hiking and wilderness therapy kind of thing. So it was fun to see the kids outside just really bonding and having so much fun outside with cameras in their hands.
Yeah. And Brian, what was your experience teaching the students?
Yeah, I mean, let's see. Yeah, like I said before, I mean, working with youth and especially in smaller communities has often or always been some of the most fulfilling work. And I guess the reason is, I mean, listen, kids are so awesome. And like Laura said, we didn't do a lot of planning. And I feel like in advance, she kept kind of apologizing and all that. I said, no, absolutely. I mean, like the planning almost doesn't even matter, because especially when we're talking about technology and all the rest. I mean, first of all, the kids are so smart that and so adaptable to technology. And these drones are so easy to fly that you really don't have to spend a lot of time teaching. It's really just about getting out there, playing with the equipment and leading by example and just encouraging people. And I mean, it's, you know, if you have 10 kids, you know, two of them are going to be, you know, superstars. Two of them are going to be, you know, kind of not interested at all. And then most of them are going to kind of be curious and all the rest. So honestly, just thinking back, it was just the overall experience and how much fun it was spending time with the kids and watching them get excited and watching them get kind of scared and nervous and, oh, you know, and all the kind of rush moments that come with that kind of experience. And then just like Laura said, spending time outdoors with the kids. I mean, for me, it was an absolute hoot. And I was just laughing the whole time. I mean, these Alaskan kids are something else. I mean, running in the bush and picking berries and running, you know, hiding under trees and running into the rivers and under the bridge and all the rest. I learned, you know, it's the old cheesy line, but it is true. I learned as much from them as I'm sure they did from me. And, you know, hopefully at the end of the day, you know, the experience resonates with even one or two of them kind of on a long-term scale. So it was just really special. And I don't think I have to tell anybody listening to this how special the community of Wrangell is in general and how special the youth of Wrangell are specifically. I mean, what a place filled with what amazing people.
Awesome. And were there any challenges during that week?
I mean, no. I can't really think of any. Maybe Laura has something to say to that from a organizing perspective, maybe wrangling the kids up in summer or
no. Well, I mean, sure. That would be the only challenge, but you could say that anytime. I think like Brian and I, it was like a magical like pairing because we both worked in the same way. So he wasn't like, oh, I need a better schedule. And the kids responded to that energy very well. Like it was like one big happy group experimenting and enjoying life.
Yeah, and I just want to jump in and say here, and I mean, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, a huge, huge thank you, obviously, to Marie and Sea Stories for kind of planting the seed. But Laura, I love you so much. You are my kindred spirit in ridiculousness. We are, you know, we became fast friends, and we're going to be friends our whole life. And already, I'm already planning more for next year. This has been just such a special experience, and I love your energy. I love what you, and I could see how special you are to the community. So to be even a little small part of that has been something quite special. And I mean, you know how special this whole summer has been to me, and this was really the catalyst for it. So I'm kind of melting a little bit just thinking about it.
Yes, well, thank you. I don't know what to say to that.
That's amazing. Okay, and Brian mentioned you're planning for the future. So my next question actually was, what's in the future in terms of media for the both of you and for the students?
Okay, what's in the future? Well, we have a new superintendent who is really on board with Project community-based learning from the sounds of it. So I've already talked to him about ideas that we could do with the students for like promoting our district, for example. But we will start, I have a high school digital storytelling class. So there'll be some students that are jumping right into making films. Most of the film work with the middle school students takes place in the spring. But this is my one of the exciting things is that Sticking Stories is going to collaborate with the Milk Run Music Festival. And we hope to have our film festival during the Milk Run Music Festival. And thinking long term, building a really solid relationship foundation with them that we can start maybe bringing in film people like we brought in Brian, because he was such a positive influence on the students, but also inspiring me and sharing his work with the community. We want to do that as well going forward with other people. Awesome. And bring Brian back.
And Laura, what about you? Do you have any future plans of making a film yourself?
Oh, goodness. I've joked that I wanted to make a film on all the people that work for Sea Stories because I feel like they have big personalities, but that was more of a compliment to everyone. I really love helping students do the final edits. I would like to make my own podcast. Everyone has heard that. So I would like to make a podcast about all the people I meet when I travel, because I talk to so many people and I get these amazing stories. But I need to like quit something extra first. And I'm not quitting anything. So if you're listening, don't worry.
Well, I hope you do start that podcast soon.
Yes, I hope so.
Brian, what about you and the future for you in media making?
Well, I mean, as far as kind of connected to this trip goes, like I said, this plan was concocted and executed on a whim and in the space of about 3 weeks. And originally I'd said, yeah, I'm going to sail up to Alaska and then sail back. Even before I got to Wrangell, I realized that didn't make sense for the pure reason that Alaska is just absolutely so special. And now that I was up here, why would I return? So I have decided to leave the boat here. I'm actually flying home at the end of the week. I'm going to park the boat in the harbor here. And I'm definitely going to be returning both in the winter, hopefully for some backcountry snowboarding off the boat, and then next summer to continue on my kind of ocean adventure. And I hope that Stikine Stories and Sea Stories will be a big part of that. I'd like to spend some more time here in the community of Wrangell, working with Laura and the youth here, and perhaps in other areas of Alaska. And then on a personal note, like I said, I'm going to return home. This ocean adventure has not only been one of the most beautiful and fulfilling experiences of my life, it has also been one of the most bank account emptying experiences of my life. And it is time to go home and make some money, at least pretend to be a responsible human being for a couple months. And I'm going to work my butt off between the film and television industry and the video production industry, as well as whatever other work I can get up to. And so my plan for the winter right now is to refill the coffers. That being said, this summer and this adventure was one of the first in my life where I set out without any clear or set goal for some sort of film or project or this or that. But But that being said, I did, obviously through the experience, capture so many incredible photos and video shots. And I say that I have no credit to myself, just the amazing things that I was so lucky to witness, that for sure I'll be working on some stuff. I'd like to do some magazine articles. I'd like to do a bit of a speaking kind of some events, some speaking and kind of photo slideshow events. And I do think I will do some sort of short film with all the video footage that I was able to capture. And that idea is slowly starting to crystallize. So we'll see what happens, but I'll definitely keep you in the loop.
Awesome. And is there anything else either of you would like to add to this?
No, I would just say that I really would like to give a shout out to Colette and to KSDK, because I feel like you've already always supported projects like this and getting the word out. And like, people from Sea Stories are like, oh, I love Colette, I know what she's doing. And just that positive kind of like, we're in it together. You're sharing stories in your job and you're inspiring youth. Like, this is a profession. You could do this and get paid for it. So thank you for all your support.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you, Brian, for coming to Wrangell. Yes.
Yeah, and I'll just echo that. I mean, a huge thank you to Marie and to Laura and to the whole community of Wrangell. Everybody's been so beautiful and so supportive, and I hope that I've been able to, return that in some small way. I definitely look forward to returning. Big thank you to Colette over here. I think the first thing I said to you when we met several weeks ago was, oh, you should interview me, which of course was met with a big eye roll. And then here we are a couple weeks later, good friends, and we were able to do this. So how special this has been. Oh, and a huge shout out to Alice, my girl.
And just for the record, I was not the one eye rolling.
That was me.
Some eye rolling going on.
I was embarrassed. Like,
that.
You did not just ask for that. But it came true. So, like, you manifested this awesome friendship and connection with Wrangell. You did it.
Friendships are the best ships.
That's right. That's right. And, okay. So, Stikine Stories, is there a website?
No. Okay. There's not a website. If you want to check out the students' videos, go to YouTube. There is a Stikine Stories YouTube, and there is Mrs. Davies, something like that, Instagram. And that's where I share Stikine Story stuff. But right now it's flooded with cross country posts. So just bear with me there.
And Brian has a website.
Yeah, I mean, the best way to kind of follow along in my journey these days is Instagram, which is just my name, Brian Hawkenstein. I'm sure you could find the spelling through the website here. And then, yeah, I do have a personal website as well that I use as a bit of a kind of portfolio showreel kind of thing, brianhawkenstein.com. And I will say, if anyone out there is interested in supporting me, I have recently launched a photo store where you could buy photographs of different shapes and sizes and materials. And that's a really good way to support me. And if, art is obviously a very personal thing and not always within everybody's budget, but something else you can do to support me is just to share that link with other people who may be interested in buying a print. So yeah, thank you in advance for that.
Well, thank you both for coming in and talking with us and the Wrangell community. That wraps up. That was Brian Hawkenstein and Laura Davies. We're going to hop on into World Cafe.